to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and I'm so glad you're here with me today on Keeping It Real on Purpose. And I am your life purpose coach host. And today we have some exciting information, and we have an exciting guest, Barbara McLean. And Barbara McLean Consulting is going to give us some excellent inspiring tips for inspiring business women. How are you today, Barbara? And nice to have you with us.
I'm really good, Edna. I'm so happy to be here. I'm always happy to talk to you.
I know. We met a long time ago on a different bug, on a different note. And it's been really cool ever since. Ever since. We don't miss a beat, right?
No. No. It's just, yeah, to be in your orbit is a joy.
Thank you. Well, being with you, I think you were one of the catalysts to me kind of becoming what I am now to this day. So I often look back at our time in the Rockaway and the speaking that happened, you know, and it was really something that one of the catalysts that moved me forward to come out more and be myself more. So I applaud you for being my, you know, one of my cheerleaders and one of my sheroes. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So this segment is about inspiring business women. So you are a businesswoman. Okay. When did the entrepreneurial bug bite you?
Women often grow best during hardships.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in my 50s, let's leave it at that, I got my master's degree.
Okay.
And after having a long career and working for some of the largest nonprofits in New York, in America, on the planet, I finally had like a master's in public administration, but I couldn't get a job.
Wow.
Now what do I do? I have this bright, shiny education and all this experience, and I'm telling you, like, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I have people, I went on interviews where a youngish man who had his own business was like, I'll hire you to be the office manager for like $30,000 a year because no one's going to hire you.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, okay. You know what? I have other skills. I'll get a day job. And I'll start my own business. And you know what? Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yes, it is.
I met this wonderful woman who became one of my dearest friends and who's also the co-host of my podcast, Pink Flags. And she did a nonprofit. The Start is What Stops You is the name of her book. Her name is Shawn Hedley Williams. Mm-hmm. I know that's like a blatant plug. But, and while I was taking her class, she was like, holy cow, you know everything. And I was like, yeah, I have a good experience at a master's in public administration. She's like, why did you not already start? And I said, because I didn't know how to file the paperwork. She goes, you gotta look that up on YouTube. Okay. All right. Well, I'll file the paperwork. And that's how we met about that time.
Okay.
Because that started my nonprofit. So this is like better possibly, let's say. And so I started via community services, where I bring awareness about intimate partner violence, sexual assault, domestic violence, and I do a lot of volunteerism. I help a lot of women to find resources to get out of situations. And then I realized that you can get a woman out of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then what does she do? So I started helping a lot of women get their businesses off the ground.
Got you.
Especially those with an entrepreneurial spirit and a to help,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make the world better. And
right.
It's funny because the more you reach out to other women who, like you said, have gone from wounded to wonderful, the more you see that you grow that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can definitely grow exponentially and heal all the wounds in your own past by opening up your heart and giving to others.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true. And you've shared a lot of information in there. It's never too late. I hear you saying it's never too late to get started. And I hear you giving so much information in just that little bit of time that can encourage anyone. I mean, another person encouraging you. So you already answered my question, who was your mentor in this? You kind of gave it all together. And that's really good. What has been your biggest challenge for you on your entrepreneurial journey? Okay. How so?
Growing myself, learning to do new things, and reaching out and learning about different programs that are operated in different parts of the country and
right. How
women just help.
Right.
It's really rewarding to work with organizations that work that try and foster reproductive justice.
Mm-hmm.
I am foster mentorship programs, organic farming.
Right.
You know, some people work with shelter animals. And
it's
things that I help in ways that I never thought I would be able to.
Nice.
And mentored and fostered, and I really, I'll search for grants and other funding opportunities that fit individual mission. And sometimes you have to take baby steps. A lot of times people will come to me and they're like, you know what? I want to start a great big nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before.
We can't start a great big nonprofit.
Yeah, right.
And this is where the coaching comes in. The coaching comes in, let's apply for a $1,000 grant.
Yeah.
That's how that goes. You apply for the $1,000 grant, and you satisfy it. Now, when we apply for the $10,000 grant, have you gotten any funding?
Mm-hmm.
Satisfy your grant? And I can take your mission and your experience and weave it into the new grant application.
Right.
Just a few weeks ago, I worked on a grant for $350,000 to help an organization to fight gun violence.
That's nice. Great.
And I would never have taken the step to do that alone.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that just working with this organization, that I could make a real difference, not only in my community, in
the world.
Yeah, in the world. And it takes you, because some of us come from a place where we know what it's like to be powerless.
Right.
Know what it's like to be hurt. And empowering yourself and giving to others and helping others empower communities. And you branch off in ways that you never dreamed was possible.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
When I feel like sometimes I make a real difference in the world,
mm-hmm.
it's so healing.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And I think that's the biggest challenge, like you said, is growing in my field, in life purpose. Many people don't understand that your values have to line up with the business that you're working with. You know, if you choose to do, let's say you want to do candy, you want to create a candy organization or something, it has to line up, you know, with what you really value, what's really important to you, you know, and your own ending goal. Many people don't understand that. And if you want to work with candy, you know, there's children involved. So are you short patienced? You know, do you have patience? You know, can you even stand children? You know what I mean? So that all of those things have to be worked together. And it's important that you do grow. And that's really important. Thanks for that, that really great piece of information. So how do you balance your entrepreneurial life now with family and friends? And is it a challenge for you at some point? And how do you work through that?
It's funny because normally, prior to COVID, I was an absolute social butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
I was out and about all the time. And in the beginning of COVID, I found myself really being kind of lost.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a new job, and I'm still working from home.
Right.
And I was like, what do I do? I mean, my house is clean. My food is cooked. My job is done. I finished Netflix. I'm almost finished with food. So what do?
Mm-hmm.
And I set out and put a little investment into marketing. And I was like, I've never done that before. My mm-hmm. business up to then was really friends and friends of friends.
Right.
And now holy cow, just a little bit of marketing goes a long way.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always been, I'm really committed to not charging very much more than a good virtual assistant would.
Mm-hmm.
To be your development coach and grant writer.
Okay.
Because I don't, I mean, don't get me wrong.
Right.
I like to live indoors and I like to eat regularly. And I have a shoe thing. But I try not to take too much of a chunk out of the nonprofit's budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand my worth, but I understand how hard my clients work to make a difference in the world. And I really, a little bit of marketing money goes a really long way. And patience is the other quotient. It's like, we can do this. I'm not going to get you $1 million grant in the first year we're doing this, but we're in it for the long haul. You know, once you pay the retainer, we're family.
Mm-hmm.
You call me on a Sunday evening, I'm going to either text you right back or I'm going to pick up the phone and talk to you. And I'd rather have, you know, clients that understand that nonprofit development is not something that's going to be done one day. It's something that you cultivate and you grow. And once we get to this point and you have an operating budget, then we can move on and find other areas where your nonprofit can get fundraising done.
Okay. So how do you balance your entrepreneurial life with family and friends? How do you balance that? Because, you know, when you're first starting out or when you're working in your entrepreneurial life, as it were, you kind of get out of balance and you start doing long hours. And then family and friends seem to kind of lag at the end. How do you balance that out?
One of the best things is my partner, my life partner of the last 8 years, is the king of the hustle.
Okay.
He works.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an extra shift or a side job or whatever, he works.
Okay.
And I learned how to have that kind of balance from our relationship because he showed me how to have a hustle,
mm-hmm.
not like neglect the people that you love.
Right.
So with him or the kids or the larger family and friends need me to participate or do something or be somewhere, I carve out the time.
Okay, good.
I'm late. Sometimes I'm early. Sometimes I have to reschedule. But I do carve out the time. And it's really rewarding. I find myself, I take the time, I go on girls' trips because I happen to have the most glorious collection of nieces and nephews that you could ever imagine.
That's great.
Yeah, we raise these women and they are just knocking it out of the park.
That's great.
The pride is incredible. And just to be able to go away with them and do the things that my mom and her sisters just were never able to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have different relationships with the young women in our lives. More, you know, let's talk about your career. Let's talk about, let's talk openly and candidly about
right.
talent with the young women in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is a generation that is going to have to seek balance.
Yeah.
And get off on a tangent, but I do make sure that the time that I need for self-care and also the time that I need to spend with the people that I love is carved out.
Okay. Excellent.
You know, with minimal compromise.
Right. That's excellent.
But I do, you know, I have my business. I also write for a lot of entrepreneurial publications. I've written for your publication.
Yeah. Yes, you have.
Anytime you need me to write,
yes, we seem to be great writers. That is correct. That is correct. You're great. You're really good. You're really good at that. And that keeps the creativity juices going too. Doing things like that really keeps it going, you know, and it clears your mind out. And then it also is like, oh, there's an idea I didn't, you know, remember. And you kind of resurface that and get it going. So it keeps the creative juices going. It really does. So how do you, do you follow a certain morning routine or a daily schedule to maximize your productivity?
I start early.
Okay, good.
That is my thing. I am an early riser. I get up at 5:55 pretty much every day, and I start my work day at 8 a.m. and I'm done by 3:30. And then generally I give the hours 3:30 and 5 either to the gym or to the business.
Uh-huh.
And usually Sunday is the day where I will do the grant writing.
Okay.
And I'll make sure that all of my clients have a strong boilerplate that I can draw from and keep everybody, you know, very organized. So that if something comes up, we're ready to go.
Right.
You know, I want to make sure that we have a realistic budget. You know, that the narrative is strong, but still, you know, believable and achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the times, because usually on Sunday, it's the day where we decompress, we watch a lot of sports, and that's something, I can watch sports and write a grant.
Yeah.
You know, that's the self-care thing.
Right.
And, you know, I try to make sure that I have time for, like, other creative outlets. I paint, I like to do some interesting art projects or like DIY projects in my house, and then I cook.
Okay.
I try and cook, like, for a while during COVID, I felt like I cooked every meal we ate for like 6 months.
All the time, right? I believe everybody had that feeling.
Creative outlet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So looking back, let's look back. Were there, into your childhood, was there any indicators from childhood that kind of foreshadowed that you'd become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I started working at 12.
And what did you do at 12?
I collected garbage.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine from the neighborhood and I, we went around, like, on garbage night when people put their garbage out on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
And we collected used or broken appliances, and we brought them to the secondhand guy. And he gave us a quarter, a dollar, $2.
Wow, that's ingenious. Ingenious.
Yeah. My mom used to call my friend and I Sanford and Son. we would go around, like, yeah, with whatever we could fit in, like, the shopping cart or the bicycle basket, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And do that.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what are some of the mistakes that, I know you were talking about your business, the businesses that you serve, which are nonprofit, right? What are some of the mistakes you see your clients making, and how do you help them?
The biggest mistakes that clients make is they have unrealistic expectations.
Okay.
And I can get you where you need to be, but if you believe that simply by paying my retainer that I'm going to find you $1 million, you're both going to be really frustrated. And if you don't show foundations that provide grants,
right,
for your city, your state, or the federal government, that you can manage that money efficiently on the type of programs that benefit your community and your mission,
right,
no one will give you any money.
Right. And how do you help them with that? How do you change their mind? How do you change them from that?
A lot of the time, I'm able to, like, once they see that I can get like a pollination project grant for $1,000, a Walmart grant for $1,000, and they can see that a little money is easy, but it adds up.
Right.
And they can see what I mean about developing sort of a social credit rating. So you have to get, in order to have a federal grant, you have to have a DUNS number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that businesses' credit is rated.
Okay.
And different credit rating from you being able to get a house or a car.
Yeah.
It shows foundations and lenders that you're good for the money.
Okay.
You have excellent personal credit and have a terrible DUNS rating, or vice versa.
Right. Okay.
Basically, it's everything above board. But it's really hard to explain to people that their mission is not a one-shot deal. Well, how many years am I going to do this before I can have a brick-and-mortar operation?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe never.
Right.
But let's see if we can find you a shared space.
Right.
You know you can't run this business out of your house or your garage or whatever. Let's see if we can find you a shared space or even an address at the UPS store. And you have to cultivate.
Right,
the most
right.
important thing is be honest.
Right. Yeah, that's important.
If someone wants to be the client, and you tell them that everything is going to be sunshine and moonbeams, you're doing them a great disservice.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Great information.
Having your own business, whether it be nonprofit, for profit,
right,
an S corporation where you are like the sole proprietor, it's all hard work.
Yeah.
And that's what you put into it.
Okay. Excellent. So I know that you have an event or a big goal on the horizon. Can you tell us about that?
For the most part, the biggest goal is to help one, you know, to help my largest client to eventually expand into three different communities.
Okay.
I work with Magnificent Men Mentoring Group.
Right.
A lot. We have a very strong relationship, and they now provide services in Burlington County, New Jersey, Philadelphia, and New York City. And we started with very little, next to nothing, and they're growing exponentially. And that's a really big thing to have. Like, I feel like they're family.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even explain it. Like, I feel like they've become family.
Right.
The work that they do is so extraordinary. And I did mention earlier about reproductive justice. They work with young girls in underserved communities and talk to them, frankly, about what it means to be a woman. And how to deal with their sexuality, how to deal with the road ahead. They provide mentoring for both young women and young men. They find internships. They work in community gardens where they teach, nutrition education, because a lot of times kids don't understand the value of being smart about where your food comes from and how your food is processed. And it's just one of the many, many goals that we worked on
mm-hmm.
with Magnificent Men Mentoring Group and, you know, their programs, which are Breakfast with Our Boys and Zenfully Living. And it's huge because they are like the strongest partnership with Barbara McLean Consulting.
Right.
That just being able to grow with them and find the kind of funding that takes them from being just someone's dream to a venerable organization has been, it's been amazing.
Great.
Rewarding.
That's absolutely great. Thank you so much for this information. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something, or this business actually, is for nonprofits. So if you're thinking about doing something in a nonprofit sector, listen in on this, take some notes. She's given us a lot of information. Barbara has given us a lot of information that we can use in the services of nonprofits. Now, Barbara, last question, how can we reach out to you for your services? What website, where are you found? You know, are you on Facebook? How can we obtain your services?
I'm on Facebook at B. McLean Consulting.
Okay.
My website is bmcleanconsulting.org.
Okay. So you help nonprofits grow by offering compliance services, program development, fundraising, and grant writing, and you've been doing this for 5 years. So ladies and gentlemen, she has been doing this for 5 years, and I'm sure she said she's going to be honest about it. If she can help you get a grant, Barbara will help you do it, right? Do you have a phone number that maybe they can reach out to? And do you cover everywhere in the U.S.?
I cover everywhere in the U.S.
Great. Great.
I have grants in, I'm thinking about 25 different states.
Wow. Excellent.
and the federal government.
Okay.
You can reach me at area code 646-322-9939.
Wonderful. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for being a great guest. And Barbara McLean Consulting has given us information that we can go forward with. This is an inspiring businesswoman, inspiring other businesswomen. And we thank you today, audience. Thank you, Barbara, for being here. And we just want to say good night. And remember to like, click that like button. Click that bell for any of the coming episodes to be seen. And also share with your friends, because we are going to continue inspiring businesswomen this whole month. Okay? Thank you, Barbara, for being here. Any last words?
It's such a pleasure. Any interaction with you is always such a pleasure, and I'm so grateful to be your guest.
Thank you so much.
Just know that if anybody wants to reach out, the initial consultation and preliminary business plan are always complimentary.
That is excellent. Well, you're going to provide that to me, and I'm going to put it on our website so they'll have it. So you send that to me right away after the show. And if you all want to get involved in this nonprofit and get your things going, because I do know a lot of people that have nonprofits that need this information. Barbara, thank you so much. And again, it is my pleasure to be with you. We will be together soon again. All right. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Thank you. Yeah.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.